Amen. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. We're in Matthew chapter 19. We're going to read the last 8 verses of this chapter. The Lord willing, we'll get done this morning. The Lord not willing, maybe we'll be raptured up. Whatever God wants. Amen. And we're praying that God would send miracles. Amen. Matthew chapter 19, beginning with verse 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Mark 10, verse 24 says, The rich man who trusts in his riches. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in his throne on his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, brethren, sisters, father or mother or wife or children or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive a 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. I want to use for a subject this morning the miracle of everlasting life. You may be seated. Or I could call it the gift of everlasting life. We said last Sunday about the rich young ruler that came, and he had many possessions. He had many responsibilities, many powers. He was a young man of great resources. And he came to Jesus and said, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? I'll not go through all the detail, but Jesus told him that if you're going to be perfect, you've got to follow him, follow Jesus. And the young man, because he had so many possessions, he could not follow Jesus. Did you know anything that keeps you from following Jesus will damn your soul? Anything that keeps you from following Jesus will rob you of blessings. Don't let anything keep you from following Jesus Christ. That young man needed to follow Jesus Christ. Because he had many possessions and he was trusting in them. So how do you know he was trusting them? Because Mark chapter 10 says, if you trust in riches, it's a snare. Many rich people, such as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, many were rich, but they followed Jesus. And I can just say to you today, if you are wealthy, it will not save your soul. But following Jesus will. And so Jesus gives this illustration of impossibility. He said it's easier for someone to go through the eye, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for man or a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now I want to say, when Jesus Christ said it's easier to take a camel, two humps and all, through the eye of a needle, it's easier for that to happen than it is for a person to secure or earn their salvation. In fact, it is impossible. Now, I realized that many of the ancient cities had walls around them, and I realized they had smaller doors in which they would go through, unpack their camels and go through. But Jesus is not talking here about a possibility. If it were possible for someone to unpack their camel and the camel get down on his knees and crawl through an eye of a needle in the wall, then it would still be possible for man. Jesus Christ said, with men, this is impossible. Now, Dr. Luke said that the the eye of a needle, if you look it up in Strong's Concordance, scriptures concerning the Greek, and Dr. Luke said it was a surgeon needle. So it was a small needle in which Jesus Christ said, you're going to take a camel, two humps and all, going to thread it through the eye of a needle, and it'd be easier to do that than for a man to trust in his riches, trust in his labor, trust in his goodness. Be easier to do that than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, what Jesus was basically saying, it is impossible. It is literally impossible. Amen? He's talking about an actual needle, an eye of a needle, putting a camel through it. Now, when I got saved, I felt the squeeze really good. This is one old camel that went through the eye of a needle. Miracle happened. God had to get rid of all the camel hide and camel hair off of me and take me into the other side. It is a miracle. Salvation is a miracle. Salvation is something that only God can do and only God can perform. It is impossible for man to save himself. It is impossible for man to cleanse himself and make himself fit for the kingdom of God. It takes the sovereign power of Jesus Christ, his blood, his righteousness, his power to take us into heaven. And when the disciples heard that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God, when the disciples heard that, they asked Jesus, who then can be saved? Look at verse 25. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? And then Jesus Christ said, with men, this is impossible, verse 26, but with God, all things are possible. So the disciples asked that big question, who then can be saved? Why don't I answer it real simple? You. Amen. Makes no difference what's in your bank account. Makes no difference what car you drive. Makes no difference what fancy clothes you wear. You can be saved. It is impossible for a rich man to be saved without the sovereign power of Jesus Christ. And it's impossible for a poor man to be saved without the sovereign power of Jesus Christ. Salvation is a miracle. Bought and paid for by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. No one can be saved outside a miracle of God. Now, I will admit, if you're rich and you allow things to get in your way, it complicates things. And I will say there's a lot of people that are allowing a whole lot less than money keeping them from following Jesus Christ. I'll simply say this. Some people are too attached to be unattached. Hello. There are people too attached to the world to be unattached. There's people too attached to their things and too attached to their sin and too attached to their habits to be unattached. But Jesus Christ must unattach us in order for us to go to heaven. Amen. Come on, I'm preaching better than you're responding. Let me make a simple statement. Being born again is impossible. Without the miracle working power of God Almighty. Being born again is an impossible thing. Going to heaven is an impossible thing. But with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. You can be saved. You can be delivered. You can have your sins forgiven. You can be changed by the power of God. You can be unattached from the things you're attached to. There are so many people that are attached, they can't get unattached. They're attached to their job. They're attached to the things of the world. They're attached to their habits. They're attached to their sin. And it's going to take a miracle of God to unattach them. You must be born again. Salvation, you say, a man has to do certain things in order to be saved. A man, it is impossible for a man or a woman to be saved without the power of Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm preaching a God of great possibility. With God, it is Him possible. Jesus possible. Him possible. Cancer comes in your body, it is Him possible. Jesus Christ can do it, make it possible. God can do anything. He sits in the heavens. The earth is His footstool. And our God is a God of miracles. In fact, our God loves to give gifts. And one of the greatest gifts He'll ever give you and I is the gift of everlasting life. That young man came to Jesus Christ thinking he could earn it, thinking he was good enough. But Jesus Christ told him, sell everything you got. Give it to the poor. Come and follow me. And the young man couldn't go follow Jesus because he was following his riches. He was too attached to his riches to be unattached and follow Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. That is, if that rich man trusts his ability, his wealth, and so forth. And so the disciples simply asked the question, who then can be saved? Let me answer that. You. You, because God is incredible. You, because Jesus Christ came to save our souls. You, because Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, shed His blood for our sins, died on the cross of Calvary, went to the tomb, rose again from the grave. You can be saved. I can be saved. Everybody can be saved, not by their own ability, but by the ability and miracle working power of Jesus Christ. Amen? Woo! Praise the Lord. Amen. You ought to be excited about that. Being born again is impossible, so it's going to take a miracle. And I'm glad that I experienced that miracle. Hello. When I got born again, it was quite nasty. Come to think of it, all seven of our children that were born into this world was quite nasty. No delivery room is clean as a tack. Every delivery room is nasty. I remember when the doctor said to me that our firstborn, he was still covered in, you know, matter. And the nurse said, you want to kiss him? I said, nope. She said, why don't you want to kiss him? He's so precious. And I said, because where he came from. Come on, I'm preaching better than you're responding. The doctor just laughed, and the nurses said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. I said, I'm not. When I got saved, it was an incredible thing. The first 3 weeks of my conviction, I could not eat or sleep. I was just miserable. 3 weeks of miserable conviction. And I'm telling you, people get saved in the cash register line at the store. Well, if they really do, it's going to be messy. Because true conversion requires repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And true repentance desires being changed by the power of God. And so we thank God for the fact that God gives us miracles. I want to simply go by this. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So faith is a gift. Salvation is a gift. Something you don't deserve, something you don't earn. Faith is a gift. The Bible is very clear that repentance is a gift. You say, well, bless God, I did this and I did that and I did this and I did that and Jesus saved me. No, Jesus did this and Jesus did that. Jesus did this and Jesus did that. And Jesus did this and Jesus did that. And I got saved. It's not what I did, I did, I did. No, it's what He did, He did, He did. It's what Jesus did. And I got saved. Acts chapter 11, verse 18 says, when they heard these things, that those that were disputing the salvation of the Gentiles, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then God hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 and 25 says, if you're going to be a servant of the Lord, you must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Oh, that's hard. Ooh, that's hard. You must be gentle to all men. Apt to teach. Patient. Oh, that's hard. Instructing. Oh, that's easy. Those that oppose themselves. If God preadventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Now, I want you to notice it says here in verse 24 and verse 25 that those who oppose themselves, people that say no to Jesus Christ, people that say no to the gospel, people that refuse to listen to the word of God, they are doing violence to themselves. They are opposing themselves. Your greatest, your biggest problem is not me. Did you feel that wave of doubt sweep through this building? Your greatest defeat, your greatest victory, I might say, is you following Jesus Christ. Being able to lay aside everything and follow Jesus Christ. If pleasure keeps you out of the house of the Lord, if riches keep you from following the Lord, if reading your scripture, studying the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about sickness. I understand people get sick and they can't. And I understand in nursing homes they can't go to church. But you know, you ornery cuss you, if you can come or not. You lazy thing. We are open on Sunday night. Now, if you're sick, that's different. If you're struggling, if you can't drive at night, God bless you, sweetheart, you can't drive in the daytime. I'm convinced you wouldn't have got here without some help. Hello? God gives us help. Amen? Now, look, I'm preaching better than responding. You might as well respond so you can get over it by 3 o'clock this afternoon. Amen? Take a gospel of Alka-Seltzer and settle down. Amen? And so when the disciples heard that Jesus Christ said to this rich man, if you give away everything you have and follow me, you'll have riches, you'll have blessing, you'll have eternal life. And when the disciples heard that, they thought to themselves, you know what? We did that. James and John did that. They left their nets and followed Jesus. Peter did that. He left his occupation and followed Jesus. Matthew did that. He left the tax table and followed Jesus. Hello? So Peter says in verse 27, he says unto Jesus, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? What do we get? What is it we get for following you? Well, you know, he's talking to the 12 tribes of Israel here, his disciples. You say, yeah, but one of them was a dud. Judas was a dud. Well, whoever took the dud's place is going to sit on thrones in the millennium, in the time of regeneration, and they're going to not judge Israel, but rule, guide, help Jesus rule the time of the millennium. That's what regeneration means. They asked Jesus, what do we get? In verse 28, Jesus says, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So he's talking to the 12 in verse 29, or verse 28. He's talking to the 12. But in verse 29, he's talking to you and me. He's talking to the 12 in verse 28. He's talking to you and I in verse 29. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children, lands or for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Now, you say, does Jesus expect us to leave our family? No, what he's trying to say is nothing should stand between you and following Jesus Christ. What Jesus Christ is saying, if mama stands between you and following Jesus Christ, then mama's out. If brother stands between you and following Jesus Christ, brother's out. Amen? Hello? If your wife stands between you and following Jesus Christ, then come on to church without your ornery cuss. Amen? And if you're so pretty he chooses to stay with you, then let him stay with you. But don't cater to some old ornery coot that wants to lead you astray. Don't listen to people that's going to, you know, if your friends keep you from following Jesus Christ, time to make new friends. Hello? If your job keeps you from following Jesus Christ, it's time to find a job where you can serve Jesus on the job, or at least you can find a job where you can serve Jesus Christ. Amen? I had an undertaker ask me one time, he said, "Do you think I have to go to church?" I said, "My God, man, you go every day." He looked at me and said, "What?" I said, "You go every day." He said, "Do you think I ought to go to church?" Well, I said, "Yeah, you ought to, but you go every day anyway. Sometimes you go 2 or 3 times a day." And I said, "You ought to be saved. If you're not, you have no excuse." Hello? Amen. I had an undertaker come, and I preached a funeral service one time here at the church. And oh, my, I tell you what, the glory of God just came and slammed this place. And God moved. The one who had died was a Christian. And the funeral home director, I'll not say who it was, after service, I rode in the hearse with the undertaker all the way to the graveyard. It was a long ways off, about 30 miles away to the graveyard. And all the way over there, he kept saying to me, "Man, I know I need to get in church. I know I ought to serve the God. I know I ought to get it right." I listened to him for a good 10 miles. And I finally said, "Why don't you shut up and then go to church?" He said, "I'll just let you out right here." And I said, "Not without the casket." Holding it as collateral. Amen. Come on. True story. And so in verse 28, Jesus Christ says, if you follow me, to his disciples, you'll have during the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne. That is the regeneration of a new earth. That word regeneration means Genesis. Means Genesis, at the beginning of a Genesis. A new world order, and I'm talking about a Christ world order, not an idiot world order. Idiot world orders can't determine what sex they are. My God, man, have you looked at the cabinet? I can't tell what it is. And I'm not going to look where I need to look to find out. Come on now. This word regeneration is also found one other place in your New Testament. And it means somewhat different. It means Genesis as well. But only it's talking to us. And it's found in Titus 3, 5, and 6. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, that is the mercy of Jesus, he saved us, by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he has shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Notice faith is a gift. Regeneration will be a gift through the power of God, and repentance is a gift. No one is going to heaven by anything they do or achieve. We're going to heaven because of him. Him, Jesus Christ. Amen? Can you imagine what heaven would be like if everybody got there because, you know, they did something special? Heaven's going to be incredible because we're going to be hovered around the Lamb. It was slain from the foundation of the world, and we're going to cry, "Worthy is the Lamb." Who then can be saved? Answer, you. How can I be saved? Follow Jesus. You say, how can I follow Jesus? Let Jesus do something miraculous in your life. Allow Jesus to give you the gift of faith, the gift of repentance, the gift of regeneration, and you'll receive the gift of everlasting life. Isn't that good? And no one, apart from the power of Jesus Christ, can be saved. It takes the drawing, conviction, power, the blood, the resurrected Son of God. It takes the sovereign move of God. In fact, God needs to thread some camels through needles today. It's a miracle. Amen. A miracle. It's a miracle that I'm going to walk on streets of gold. It's a miracle that I'm going to see the walls of jasper. It's a miracle that I'm going to live forever. It's a miracle that I'm going to live and live and live and live and live and live forever. It's a miracle. What then should we have since we follow the Lord? How about streets of gold? How about everlasting life? How about your new name written down in glory? Woo! How about knowing where you're going when you leave this old sorry sick world? How about being sure that you're a born-again child of God, that God touched down and the explosive second Adam exploded in your heart and changed your life? Jesus Christ is the only one that can do that. Religion can't do it. Rules can't do it. Being good can't do it. It takes the power of Jesus Christ to give us everlasting life. Isn't that good? Now, I don't know what it is that's keeping you from following Jesus. But whatever it is going to keep you out of heaven. You say, well, there's nothing keeping me from following Jesus. Well, why aren't you doing it? Come on, you know whether or not you're following Jesus or not. Hello? You know whether or not what is all important in your life? What is the most important thing in your life? What is it that you talk about all the time? Anybody say, they used to do coon hunting in this neck of the woods. I remember coon hunting. And I always felt sorry for the old coon dogs that get out there in the cold winter and they're wagging their tails and woo, woo, woo after the coon. And I was afraid that they'd hit their tail frozen next to a tree and it'd break it off. Somebody took me coon hunting. I worked at the gas station. They said, you want to go coon hunting with me? I said, sure, I'll go. And last time I went, and I've never went again. I didn't want more. I mean, what I wanted to just snuggle up to them dogs and get warm. But I want you to understand something. They used to use the phrase, well, he's got coon hunting in his blood. Or they use the phrase, he's got racing in his blood. He's got hunting in his blood. He's got certain activities in his blood. What that means is they are addicted to certain things. Well, I want you to know I've got Jesus in my blood. You get around me very long, you'll hear about Jesus. Amen? You don't want to be trapped in an elevator with me. But if you get trapped in a elevator with me, you're going to have Holy Ghost kisses all over your face when I'm done. Amen. Someone asked, what is the fastest thing in the world? Well, when the pastor dismisses, people leave the church. That's fast. Man, boom, they're gone. Or leaving the elevator where I'm standing. I can walk into Walmart and clear a whole aisle. I kid you not. Hello? I walked into a Walmart. I don't remember whether it was a Walmart. It was a grocery store, and they had the liquor aisle. And I stepped inside. I was a pastor, and I saw the person. It was a lady. She had her shopping cart, and it was full of wine and full of cigarettes. Back then, they could get their cigarettes wherever. And she had loaded up, and she saw me coming. Up the aisle she went, fast as she could go. And so I pursued. She went around the corner, and when I got around the corner, there was a bottle of wine in the meat counter. I came down the other aisle, and I got there, and she'd passed by it, and there's a carton of cigarettes in the cereal aisle. When she finally got to the checkout lane, she had one little old basket of apples. That's it. And when I got there behind her, I said, you're not buying much, are you? She said, no, I didn't need much today. Amen. My mama, God bless her, she's in heaven. My family, some of my family's here, grandma, my mother, she talked to everybody in the store. And she always took time to go by the fruit aisle. And she would go by the grapes, and she would pick a grape and pop it in her mouth. And I'd say, Mom, you're stealing. She said, I ain't stealing, I'm sampling. She circled back around and sampled some more. It wasn't long, she was talking to somebody and backed up and sampled a little bit more. I said, Mom, you gonna buy any grapes? She said, no, I don't think I need any today. That's my mama. God forgave her of that. I believe that with all my heart. God forgave her. You say, how do you know God forgave her? Because this is a good illustration to you. God forgave her for that. But please listen to me. Give yourself a report card here. Am I really following Jesus Christ? Or is there things at the top of the list that are more important in my life? Am I really following Jesus Christ? Am I free to follow Him? Or is there something that's keeping me from receiving the gift of faith, the gift of repentance, the gift of the Holy Ghost, the gift of God's regeneration? You see, no one's going to heaven apart from the work of Jesus Christ. And if you're in this room and you've never had regeneration, you've never had a new birth, you've never had a change in your life, you've never been changed. You know, Jesus is in my blood. Other people got things in their blood, but Jesus is in my blood. That's all I think about is Jesus. I get up in the morning, I think about Jesus. I get up in the middle of the night, I think about Jesus. I come to church, I think about Jesus. This morning at 4:30, I was sitting on that altar thinking about Jesus, talking to Jesus. Amen? Hello? And we need to keep our focus on Jesus Christ. We need to follow Him. See, God's not content with you just saying, well, I know Him. God wants you to follow Him. Because being a Christian is a constant regeneration, a constant renewing. Being a Christian is a constant change. A constant blessing. I can't wait for the Lord to return. Won't that be awesome? The Lord could come in any moment. Hallelujah. If the Lord came today, nothing would matter except our relationship with Jesus Christ. If the Lord descended from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ rise first, and we which are alive and remaining shall be caught up into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Hello. Hello, Jesus. World, goodbye. Hello, Jesus, radiation, goodbye. Hello, Jesus, chemo, goodbye. Hello, Jesus, insulin, goodbye. Hello, Jesus, surgeons, goodbye. Hello, Jesus, sickness, goodbye. Hello, Jesus, death, goodbye. Goodbye, O world. Goodbye, O sinful world. Goodbye, 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 and good riddance. Woo! Amen. If the Lord raptured me out right now, I'll let you have my car. I don't have one. You have to settle for the church van. It's wore out. Amen? Hello? Don't be attached to anything too tightly that it keeps you from being caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Don't be attached to the world. Be unattached by the power of Jesus Christ. I'm afraid the world's full of people that's so attached to their sin, so attached to themselves, so attached to the things of the world, so attached to pleasure, so attached to living this life, so attached to the things of this life, and it's keeping you from following Jesus Christ. I want you to know something. You'll love your wife, men, that are, you husbands, you'll love your wife incredibly more if you're a born-again Christian. Wives, you'll love your husband incredibly more if you're a born-again Christian. Amen? Hello? Judy and I have been married 48 years. Man, she got a deal, didn't she? I bet she's so glad she asked me to marry her. Is she in this room? I'm good. I'm digging a hole. My wife says to me after church sometimes, she'll say, "You didn't talk about me, did you?" I said, you know, there's gossip in this room. What'd you say? We'll get in the car and she'll say, these are her first words. What'd you say about me? I said, you're gorgeous and sweet and wonderful. And I am so undeserving to have you. She's a liar. Actually, I'm not lying because it is true. She's pretty cool. Amen. But we're getting old. We're getting old. Judy still looks young. I look like an old geezer, but Judy looks young. She's the love of my life. I care deeply about her. But if I had to choose between her and Jesus, and I don't, but if I did, but I don't, but if I did, but I don't, but if I did, I'd choose Jesus. But I won't, because I don't have to. Amen. My dad used to tell me, he said, when you get married, find the ugliest, biggest woman you can find to marry. My dad used to tell me that. I said, why? Because if you do, nobody will want her. She'll be all to yourself. So I took dad's advice. No. You are a pitiful congregation. You know that, don't you? No. You know I'm not serious. But I am serious about this. Whatever's keeping you from following Jesus is keeping you from being saved. It's keeping you from honoring God. If it's a if it's drugs, if it's a job, if it's company, bad company, whatever it is that's keeping you from following Jesus, if it's possessions, then you need to unattach yourself by God's grace and attach yourself to Jesus Christ. Because in the end, only those that are attached to Jesus will go up to meet Jesus in the air. Amen? I used to hear this illustration and I'll quit. I didn't learn a whole lot in school, you can tell. But I love science. And we got together in the science room and we had an object lesson on magnets. And the teacher got a stack of toothpicks and put them in on the table, and then the teacher got a stack of pins, just needles, just sharp pins. And he took that magnet and he waved it over them toothpicks. He got it down close to the toothpick. The toothpicks didn't, those wooden toothpicks didn't move an inch. They didn't move a hair. And then he slowly began to take it over to them sharp pins. And he began to put that magnet over them sharp pins. And those pins went ping, 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 straight to the magnet. And the teacher said to me, James, what does that teach you? And I said, what that teaches me is whatever's in them toothpicks ain't in them pins. And whatever's in them pins, the magnet likes. And I want you to know, when Jesus comes as the magnet of this universe, all you dead toothpicks are not going to move. But you sharp needles, you sharp pins, when the Lord descends from heaven with a shout, ping, 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 because what's in them pins is what Jesus wants in you. And when Jesus comes, he's not coming for toothpicks. He's coming for the Holy Ghost sharpened ones, ready to go. Is there enough Jesus in you to be caught up to meet Jesus in the air? Is there enough of Jesus to take you up? You see, Jesus has to put that in you. You can't put it there. And I don't want to sound unkind, but going to the altar and shaking the preacher's hand is not conversion. Joining the church is not conversion. Being baptized in the river is not conversion. What's conversion is being drawn by God to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, your faith in Jesus that God gives you, regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, you being born again by the gift of repentance, disconnecting from the world, connecting with Jesus Christ, and a sovereign, born again, impossible act that only God can do through the shed blood and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you go to heaven, that'll be the only reason you go to heaven, not any other reason but that. And so if I never experienced the gift of repentance, if I've never experienced the gift of faith, if I've never experienced regeneration, if I were you, I'd jump up from wherever I'm sitting. As we give an altar call, I'd run to this altar and I'd say, my God, please convict me. My God, please draw me. My God, please change me. My God, please loose me from this world. My God, please regenerate me. Give me eternal life. And if you feel that in this room, I'd run to the altar. Because what you're feeling is what's going to make those pins go ping, 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 ping. What you're feeling is God drawing you. And if you're wise enough to run to an altar today and say, God, do it in me.
do everlasting life in me, God will give you everlasting life. Stand with me. Please let me encourage you. It's still early. It's not even noon yet. And I enjoyed that great singing. Baldridge family, awesome. Love you guys. Love you guys so much. And they call you Pops. I love you, Pops. Joyce, we love you too. You put up with him. I've enjoyed today. But if you really want to enjoy everlasting life, you need to step out from where you're standing or sitting. Come down to this altar and say, God, do in me what I can't do for myself. God, do in me what I cannot do in my heart. Please save me. And please change me. And please disconnect me from the world. And connect me to Jesus Christ. Would you do that? All over this house, altar's open.